Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now that everything that we do and say, that it will be pleasing in your sight, that it will bring glory and honor to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was just thinking this past week about some of the struggles that I've had and struggles that I know others around me have had. And I know there were problems before, but I don't know about you. I almost feel like things haven't been right since COVID, you know, like just still trying to find my balance, get my equilibrium. I mean, just when you think you got this thing figured out, man, stuff just kind of goes left, right? And I've been really challenged. I've had a number of people, mentors, friends, and the like who have been passing. It just seems like at a really, really high rate over the last year or so. And it's caused me to really stop and reflect on my own life and think about, man, what do I need to do with the rest of the time that I have, right? Now, you all hear me say often, I've got more days behind me than in front of me. And so I'm sitting here thinking now, and the truth of the matter is you don't know how many days you got in front of you. So you can be in your 20s and have more days behind you than in front of you, right? And so the challenge for me now is I'm thinking about how to maximize the time left that God gives me. How do I make the best use of the time? What area of my life do I need to focus on? What do I need to make a priority in my life? And I've come to this conclusion. In order for me to maximize the time that I have left in my life, in order to do the best I can with the time I have left, two things need to be in place. You can write these two words down, but you're going to see them all throughout this message and all throughout this series. One is focus. One is focus, that you have to be focused. The difference between a floodlight and a laser beam is focus. And when you focus something, you can maximize its power and its potential. The other word that I think is significant for me that has become kind of a mantra for me is the word intentional. I want to make sure that I am focused, and I want to make sure that I am intentional in everything that I do. Now, there is a difference between the word intention and intentional, right? There are a whole lot of folks who talk about their intentions. But somebody said the road to hell is paved with what? Good intentions, right? I'm talking about living intentionally, making sure I am strategic in everything that I do and everything that I say. Today, I want to start a series entitled Intentional Discipleship. Intentional Discipleship. And the reason I wanted to talk about this as we prepare to go into our fall 2024 discipleship session is because I am convinced that nothing powerful, nothing impactful is going to take place unless you are focused and intentional. And if you happen on something great, if you accidentally walk into something wonderful, it will not be maintained unless you are intentional about keeping it at that high level. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can go to our website, you can download our app and get a copy of our outline today. I want to talk today from the thought, how to go in a way that glorifies God. How to go in a way that glorifies God. Specifically today, I want to focus on what it takes to make what God wants for his church what you want for your life. What God wants for his church, I want to challenge you to make sure that's what you want for your life. Now, somebody may say, why is that important? It's important because everywhere in the Bible you see the word church, God is talking about people and not a building. So you are the church. You don't come to church. You don't go to church. You come to the place where the church regularly meets. If this building burned down today, next week, Good Hope will be meeting somewhere, because the Good Hope Church is not a building or a campus. It is made up of people. So how do we go in a way that glorifies God? Now, let me qualify this message by telling you the last 19 months here at Good Hope have been absolutely tremendous. God has done some amazing things. It's been the most productive 19 months of my ministry life in terms of consistency and clarity, commitment, the competency of people. It's been absolutely tremendous to see the number of people who have come to faith, the number of people who have united with our church, the number of you who have gotten actively involved in ministry like never before, volunteerism, community impact and influence, all that God is doing. Man, it's been absolutely tremendous. Here's what I've come to understand. It could be even greater if we all were intentional about allowing God to use us. The number of people we could touch could multiply exponentially. The number of converts that we're seeing could increase in a supernatural way. And your growth will elevate you to the next level when you make a decision to become intentional. You can't be an accidental disciple, right? You can't accidentally be great. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be focused in order to do what God has called you to do. Five real quick things I want you to see today around this idea of intentional discipleship and specifically going in a way that glorifies God. If we don't get through all of them, we'll pick them up on next week. Number one, you need to know what it means to intentionally go to the glory of God. Now, I'm going to have you write intentionally all day because I want you to get that in your hand until you get it in your head and in your heart, right? You need to know what it means to intentionally go to the glory of God. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 28, the New Living Translation says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." Circle that word, go. To go means to proceed from one place to another. What's interesting is it's always used in the New Testament and in the Septuagint in the middle voice, which means you are responsible for your going. So when you go, don't blame somebody else when you stop, and don't blame God for you not going. He says we all have responsibility to take ownership of our going. But here's what else is interesting. It's a participle, and it's in the imperatival sense. Now, it's not an imperative, but it's linked to the one imperative in the passage. So here's what Jesus says. He says, hey, disciples, because remember, he's talking to his disciples. So he's talking to his disciples, and he says, hey, I need you all to make disciples, and I need you to go, listen carefully, with intentionality. In other words, you're not just going just to be going. You're not just meandering. You're not just strolling. He says, no, no, no. You got to be intentional in your going. So, excuse me, my father was a New York City police officer. He worked transit. He worked beat. He worked undercover narcotics. And one of the things he would always do is drill me on observing my surroundings. So even now, I walk into a space, I'm always looking how many exits are there. You know, if something happens over here, how am I going to get out? If something happens on this side, what am I going to do? If somebody walks in and starts shooting, it's crazy, but that's how he raised me. So I can't help it. I don't care where I am. Man, if you ask me what's the quickest way out of here, I'm going to be able to tell you because I already figured it out. there's an intention that he instilled in me that wherever I go, hey, man, focus. And he used to tell me stuff like, you know, you can't depend on your mother to focus like that. You can't depend on your sister to focus like that. I need you to focus like that. I need you to think ahead of time so that you are prepared to respond to stuff and not just be reacting to stuff. Jesus says there needs to be some intention in your going. And you say intention to do what? Two kinds of people in the world. People who need Jesus, people who know Jesus. He says wherever you go, everywhere you go, you're going to run into one or two people. People who need Jesus, people who know Jesus. And you got to be ready to respond when I open up the door for somebody who either needs Jesus or knows Jesus because you are my disciples. He says, wherever you go, you got to have your discipleship lens clean and in focus. Because he says, some of these folk, the only way they're going to ever know Jesus is by you. The only way they're ever going to hear about Jesus is through you. The only way they're going to be encouraged to become all that I want them to be is through you. He says, I know it's a heavy responsibility, but you know that's what you signed up for. When you said, I want Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord. See, here's the tragedy for too many people. They thought when they signed up for church, that church was about them, and they didn't realize it was about God. They thought it was about them coming on Sunday to get what they want. So they come looking for churchtainment. They treat Sunday morning like it's a Christian light club. The offering is their cover charge. And they're looking at the pulpit and the choir stand saying, now let me see how y'all gonna entertain me today. I don't get drinks every day, but I do get a drink on communion Sunday, right? And they come looking for what they can get. And God says, no, when you come on Sunday, you're not coming to a destination. You're coming to a deployment center. You're a distribution center. You come here to get sent out to be the salt and light that God calls you to be. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must intentionally go in the Lord's power. You must intentionally go in the Lord's power. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Matthew 28, verse 18. That's why we get to verse 19 and it says, go therefore in the ESV translation. Right? So the therefore in verse 19 is there because of what was said in verse 18. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That word authority, exousia, is translated predominantly in the New Testament power, but it's a greater word than just regular power or strength because it refers to one who not only has the power but has the authority to use the power. When you were growing up, if you had older siblings or you were the older sibling, parents left and they left you in charge, right? They would say, hey, whatever this person tells you to do, that's what you do. My wife took five of the grandkids to see The Lion King the other day, and she had to give them directions on who was in charge if they couldn't see her, right? One occasion, the oldest grandchild, Bryn, went, and Bryn is 11, 12, and so she's, you know, substantially older than everybody else. And she said, Bryn is in charge. If I'm not around, you listen to Bryn. She gave Bryn. Now watch this. Bryn is the biggest. Bryn is the tallest. Arguably, Bryn is the strongest. So she has power, but my wife gave her authority. And they knew that Bryn was in charge. Jesus says, I have power and I'm giving you authority to walk in that power. Now, somebody may say, why is that important? I'm telling you why it's important. Because many of you are not doing what God has equipped you to do, called you to do, given you the ability to do for one reason and one primary reason only, and that's fear. And that fear is keeping you. And can I tell you something? That fear is not only keeping you from doing what God has prepared you to do, it's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do in your life. That same fear. Some of y'all are so guilty, not of killing somebody else's dream, but of killing your own dream. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, man, you should be doing this and this. And you come up with every reason, not why you should do it and can do it, but you come up with every reason why you shouldn't do it. I mean, it's bad to be a dream killer, but it's worse when you are a suicide dream killer. You kill your own dream. You don't even need any help. Listen, the devil ain't even got to try to kill your dream. He already know you're going to kill your own dream. He says you have authority. He says, so you have to intentionally make a decision to walk in the power of God in your life. And can I tell you something? Have you ever noticed trends in people's lives? For example, if they're not doing well over here, it's going to show up over here as well. Or if a person is raggedy over here, that raggediness tends to follow them everywhere else. Like a person, it's hard to be raggedy and trifling at home and then be on it on the job. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like there's a tendency, there's a trend there. Right? And I'm saying that because if you are not walking in authority in what the Lord wants you to do, you probably are not walking in God's power in terms of what you want to do. Because you're not going to be scary over here and courageous over here. Cowardly Lion didn't get scared when the witch showed up. He was scared, period. He was scared of Toto. He was scared. He was scared of Dorothy. He was just scary. Right? And so some of you have some trends that you can see. And I want to encourage you to know that God's power is available for you. Here's the third thing. You must intentionally go and do the Lord's purpose. You must intentionally go and do the Lord's purpose. Verse 19, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Jesus comes to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples, and he says to his disciples, make disciples. Now, I want you to catch this. Because he's talking to his disciples. These are people that he has spent the better part of 3 years with. He has discipled them. Jesus says to them, you being discipled is not enough. Because if the church is built only on you being discipled, then the church is going to die when you die. So he says, listen, my disciples. I need y'all to make disciples. I need y'all to make disciples. I need you to pour into this next generation. I need you to pour into those around you in an intentional way. I need you to make it your focus. I need it to make it your purpose. I need my purpose to become your purpose. I need you to make disciples more than just a pupil or a student. This is a person who takes information and applies that information into their lives that will result in their personal life transformation. So much so that they become like the one they are a disciple of. I've told you before, but let me say it again for somebody who may have a fleeting memory. Being a disciple of Jesus is not intended to make you the best version of yourself. Being a disciple of Jesus is to make you the best version of him you can be. It's not about you cussing less, so now you're a good disciple. No, it's about you talking more like Jesus. right? It's not about you fighting less and you say, well, I'm doing better than I used to do. No, you need to start lining up your life with Jesus. So when people see you, they need to get confused as to whether or not they're looking at you or they're looking at Jesus. Come on now, let's be honest. Folk look at us, whole lot of us, they don't think nothing about Jesus. Hear us talking, they don't think, ain't none of that. Man, I want, man, it sounds just like Jesus would sound. Wow, look at them. Wow, look at that attitude, just like Jesus. I just see that person right there in Luke chapter 9, you know, just, man, just like Jesus. He says, we have to go and make disciples. Here's the challenge we have, brothers and sisters. You can't export what you haven't imported. You can't give what you haven't gotten. Now, when I say be a disciple and a disciple maker, I'm not saying you got to be perfect. No, but you got to at least be aiming somewhere close to the mark, trying to do better. Right? He says, we've got to be a disciple maker. Imperative mood. It's a command. It's not a choice. Jesus didn't say, oh, go and make disciples if you feel like it. He didn't say, go and make disciples if it's convenient. And can I tell you something? Because there's somebody right now, I can feel you. I can feel you like, you know, Pastor, why are you talking about me like that? I feel it. You sitting there looking at me like, yeah, see, you just meddling today. Listen, I wouldn't tell you the truth if I didn't love you. I want what the Lord wants for you, the best. And he wants you to walk in your purpose. And he says he wants you to walk in your purpose, to fulfill your purpose, to be a disciple maker. But you got to do it intentionally. Now, we do it intentionally in other areas of our lives, right? I mean, think about it. Sororities, fraternities, fraternal organizations. You know, we got clubs that we're part of, groups that we're part of. And if we want somebody to be a part of that group, man, we go out of our way to make them feel welcome and to bring them into the group. Challenge now is, how many people have you made feel welcome in the kingdom? You know what? Let me stop right there for a minute. So I went to a church the other day to visit. Brother Dana, it's kind of hard for me not to stand out. So I'm going to say something to y'all. Y'all going to laugh when I tell you this. So I've kind of just really come to the realization that I'm bigger than most people. See, y'all laughing. I'm being serious. No, and I'm going to tell you what happened. So my wife and I were on a plane, and we're coming back. I was teaching and preaching in North Carolina. We're coming back. And guy on the other side of the aisle was a big dude. He was big. And his son wasn't as big, but he was taller. And his son was like 7 feet tall, right? And the dude that was sitting next to his father was on the other side of the aisle from me. And I'm looking at this dude. I'm like, man, this dude is big. That's a big dude. You know, he's tall. I mean, he got some girth. Big dude. And so when we landed, you know, and the thing, you know, you got to get up and get your bag. I'm getting up to get my bag from overhead. He's getting up to get his bag. And I turn, and I'm looking at him eye to eye. And then I kind of sized him up, and we were like the same size. And I was like, holy cow. I'm a big dude. Because the whole flight, I'm telling you, I'm saying, man, that's a big dude, man. That's a big dude. Man, I'm going to fool with that dude, man. I'm going to get that dude, man. He's a big dude. And when we got up and stood next to each other, I'm like, man, I'm a big dude. So I figured out that I've got to make God's purpose my purpose, right? And I can't allow who I am to stop me from doing and becoming who God wants me to be. Now, I'm saying that because many of us have an image of ourselves that other people don't have, right? We don't see ourselves the way other people see us. That's why y'all laugh when I said I finally realized I'm a big guy. Because y'all like, what mirror have you been looking in that you have not? But see, I told somebody I've been big all my life. Right? So I don't know anything else. Like, it's all relative. Like, it's, you know, I look in the mirror. Okay, I maybe have to tilt the mirror up a little bit higher than my wife does, you know, if we get in the same mirror. But, man, I don't think about it. I just am who I am. Right? I'm saying that to say this to you. You are a disciple. Right? And I need you to see yourself the way God sees you. One of the reasons some of you are afraid to make a disciple, to share your faith, to pray for somebody, is because you are seeing yourself through your eyes instead of through God's eyes. Right? You're not a disciple maker because, Pastor, I don't think I'm spiritual enough. That's your eyes, not God's eyes. Right? I don't know if I can pray for somebody because, you know, I don't like talking in public. That's your eyes. It's not God's eyes. Right? I think I can do it, but I don't know if I can lead a life group. Pastor, I don't know because, you know, what if somebody asks me a question? I don't know. Guess what you do? Do the same thing your pastor does when somebody asks him a question he don't know. You say, I don't know. I'll check and find out. Right? Yeah, like, y'all think I got the whole Bible memorized? Like, my mind is like a hard drive or something? Man, you ask me a question, I'm gonna ding. Okay, let me get the answer. You just say, I don't know. Hey, man, I don't know how to pray, Pastor. Just talking to God. You talk all the time. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know how to pray. Some of that prayer God ain't hearing anywhere. You know, all them fancy prayers and the deacon singing and praying. And whatnot. Man, you ain't got to pray like that. Just talk to God. God, just need to talk to you for a minute. Going through some stuff down here. Well, I ain't telling you nothing you don't already know. But it's getting hard for a sister. You know what I mean? Getting tough for a brother. But you gotta be intentional. Everybody say intentional. Now, I'm gonna tell you this and then I'm gonna close. So, during the pandemic, while I was going through what we were going through and trying to navigate the church and looking at what it was gonna take to reset and refocus the church, I also was looking at my own life and refocusing my life. And I was mad at some people, y'all. I'm gonna be honest. Somebody say real talk. Okay, so I'm gonna be honest. So I was upset. I think I am really well-trained. I think I'm really well-prepared as a pastor and preacher. I'm a thinker, I'm a reader. And I was working with conferences around the country. I was helping reset conferences and doing all kinds of stuff. And nobody was calling me to ask me to come speak at their conferences and whatnot. And I'm looking at people who are speaking at these conferences. I'm not mad at them, but like I know, like this is what I do. Like it's like if you needed somebody to come to a conference and talk about being, you know, big and yellow, like I'm, well, maybe not the big because I didn't see it then, but I'm just saying, right? But it's like, no, man, that's me. Like that's what I do. And I got mad. Ken Davis, I was walking around, I was upset, man, because guys wasn't inviting me to their conferences. And then I started questioning, maybe I don't preach good enough. Maybe I'm not doing what I thought I was doing. Like, man, what's wrong with me? And then through a series of events and some words spoken to me by a non-Christian, it was as if God said, why are you upset at somebody else who won't invite you to what they're doing when you have the opportunity to do what I've told you to do, and you don't need their validation or approval to do it? I'm sharing this with somebody today because this is not even part of the sermon. Somebody watching, somebody's going to get this, and it's going to bless you. So I literally sat there, and I said, man, I said, what do I do? So it was like God said, now, when you go speak at this conference and you do this class over there, how many people you have in that class? And I'm thinking, okay, about 25, you know. And he's like, okay, you got the internet, you got cameras, you got the church, you got a studio, you have technicians, you have musicians, and you only have access to about 7.5-8 billion people in the world. You upset at somebody who won't let you work with 25? And you have everything you need to reach 7.5-8 billion? I mean, you're talking about feeling stupid. Y'all, I felt like I was like, God, you didn't have to hit me that hard, man. And then the Lord made it clear, you got to be intentional. You got to be focused. And I've watched God not only do great things with our church, but I've seen God do great things in my life. I was longing to say yes to somebody because I just wanted somebody to ask me to do something. Now I got to figure out how to say no. Because God is just opening doors. But it's because I trusted him and I became intentional. I'm going to use this example. So this quarter, nobody signed up for Sunday school. Nobody signed up for Sunday school. Everybody moved to life groups, right? So nobody signed up for Sunday school. So we didn't have Sunday school class because everybody signed up for life groups. Praise God. That's great. Then I thought about it because Sister Myra called me and said, Pastor, we don't have anybody for Sunday school. So then I was thinking, why aren't we teaching Sunday school online? We got great Sunday school teachers. We got 7.5-8 billion people in the world. Might be a few folk who can't get to church, worshiping underground, sick and shut in, who would love to tune in for Sunday school with Good Hope. But we have to remove the limitations that we've placed on ourselves. Self-imposed limitations. You all, we got to be intentional. We have seen over the last 19 months about 380 people come to Christ. I'm not sure what the percentage is. I think it's close to 50% of those people, adult candidates for baptism, conversion growth, right? We had 200 last year. We're almost at 200 this year. We're on pace to do about 50% more people come to faith this year than we had last year. No, no, no. Everybody needs to clap for that. Everybody needs to clap for that, right? Woo! But watch this. We did that without all y'all being intentional. Can you imagine what would happen if everybody under the sound of my voice, if everybody watched and said, I'm going to be intentional about letting God use me. I'm going to become intentional. And I'm not going to let the devil or what somebody told me about me in my past or what I've told myself keep me from doing what God says about me. And if you make up in your mind to get out of your own way, you'll see God do some amazing things. Because for some of you, the biggest enemy in your life is not the devil. It's yourself. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. I pray now, God, that good seed has found good soil in the hearts and minds of your people. Help us, God, to be not just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers. Help us, God, to get out of our own way so that you can do something great and glorious in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.